Hey guys, your Scandal Squad is back. We're all here and we're getting ready to break down Scandal Season 7, Episode 4, titled The Lost Girls, right after this. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I like how we're all silent. We just hit the bop.
Hey. Oh.
Hey. Shout out to Shonda Rhimes.
Yes. Awesome throwback, though.
Yes. Right? Killing it this season with the music. Can we get it? Oh, I thought we were going to hit the hook. It's okay.
I know.
Don't go chasing.
Take it away. No.
See, I always used to think it was Jason. Jason Waterfalls when I was young. That's so cool. About when I was like in second grade, you know, something like a long time ago. I thought it was Jason Waterfalls.
I literally have a friend, Zach. He in his description on Instagram, it says don't go Jason Waterfalls. It's like an inside joke.
Oh my goodness.
I wasn't alone.
It's like that Lloyd song. You can never get the line right.
Five two.
Well, what's up, everybody? Welcome to our after show for Scandal on TGIT. The whole panel's back this week. Woo-hoo! Feels nice. Yes. Definitely feels good. You guys know me. I'm your host, Christine. You can find me all over social media at Christine Bean with three E's and kick it to my panel.
I'm Tessa Saval. You guys can find me on all social media at Tessa_Saval.
Hey guys, I'm Paris Rose. You can find me everywhere at Paris Rose with two R's.
And I'm Jessica Williams. You can find me on Instagram at Miss Jessica Williams and on Twitter at Miss Jessica WW. We missed you guys.
Missed you guys too.
We were double trouble last week, me and Tessa. Yeah. But it's still good to have you guys back.
Definitely. It feels good to be back here with you guys.
Yeah,
For episode 4, the season is like in full swing,
and this is a full episode. I'm so excited.
Yeah,
you know, from beginning to end, there's like stuff happening.
That's so true. Yeah. It was engaging.
Yeah.
Well, we're all caught up. We're gonna get into that really quickly, but before we get started with the episode, I want to take some time to share a message from one of our sponsors, from ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, you know that quality hires keep your business moving forward, but you also know it can take a lot of time to find the right candidate for the job. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the world's leading job boards with just one click. So you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting so you receive the best possible matches. And that's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them, which is dope because, yep. I mean, that's why you need a service like this.
Exactly.
You don't take the work out of it. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. So if you guys are interested, find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, all you Scandal listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. If you have a small business or you're launching something, ZipRecruiter is the place to go to get help building your brand or anything of that sort. So right now, you can go to ZipRecruiter.com/buzz. Buzz to try it for free. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/buzz. So check
awesome.
It out.
Yeah, great coupon code. I mean, I may have to try that out. I'm hiring.
I know. I'm going to run your own business.
I am. So, yeah.
Yeah, don't sell yourself short,
great
guys.
Great resource.
Something.
See, you never know what you get from
it's
tuning in to
really
AfterBuzz.
Legit.
Absolutely. Yeah. ZipRecruiter can totally be the thing that, you know, steps your business up to the next level. So check it out, guys.
Yay. And just real quick, shouting out to all of our live feed people. We see you. You guys are rolling in, giving your initial shout outs. We love the process. Every week is the same. They're like, yes. Hey guys, what's up? You introduce yourself. And then you guys know each other, which is the cutest. You're like, hey, so-and-so, hey, so-and-so. So we love our live feed family is what we're going to call it.
Yes, live feed family. Yeah. Can't forget to shout you guys out.
Yeah.
So let's just get right in it.
Yes.
This episode was titled Lost Girls. But I mean, really where we're at right now in this episode, we're finally back to, I guess, the beginning where these last few episodes have kind of been leading up to why Fitz is here and that moment outside of Liv's apartment. And it turns out he is here to help with the Lost Girls cause.
Yes.
Were you guys expecting that?
I didn't know what he was going to do because he's on this mission really to save Liv. And I didn't think he was going to do a case. I thought he was, or like, fall in love with me. I really thought it was going to be, he was going to be like, you know what, you're crazy. And I'm here because I know you are. I thought it was going to be really more obvious, but I kind of like the case thing.
I agree. Yeah, it was surprising just because I was like, oh, you actually have a purpose. And it's like a real, and it makes sense. It wasn't as obvious because clearly she's so intuitive right now in this new role. And I feel as though if he would have came on too strong, she would have just shut him off, shut him down, and then kept rolling. So the fact that he kind of gave a little sneak peek, backdoor entrance, I liked it.
To be honest, if you guys watched last week, I kind of had a whole rant about this because Papa Pope and Fitz, I don't trust together. And so I think when I saw them in the last episode, I knew something was up.
Right.
Which I continue to emphasize. And I feel like I now know what's up.
Yeah, you were spot on with that.
It's like really adamant.
Yeah, this week shows the why, that kind of why question. Like, why did he go to? But it's because he was so strong. Fitz has such a strong influence over Fitz. Mm-hmm. And that's the only resource that Papa Pope has. What do you think, Christine?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how Liv is, like, immediately rattled by him being there. Like, she just can't wrap her head around why Fitz would be there. It's like he's taking a page out of her book, appealing to, you know, their feelings for each other and giving a strong case. Like, I feel like that's something Liv would do to get someone to do what she wants. So I was like, okay, Fitz, all right. and he's using his charm over Liv, which I wasn't sure was still there.
I wasn't sure either. But now he, like, hearing it from her father, I feel like he's more confident now. He was like, you know, you've always been her weakness. And I feel like he was like, yeah, you know what? Like, I feel like he gained more confidence.
That's so true because Papa Pope has been the largest antagonist against Fitz. And he never wanted them to be together. So now he's, like, his biggest cheerleader.
Right.
He has a little bit more confidence to kind of show up in her life. Multiple times at her door, by the way.
Very true. I mean, it's kind of weird. He's walking around in, you know, plain clothes. You know, where's Fitz's, you know, Secret Service that still follows you when you're out of office? It seems like they're never really, like, in the frame very much, which, you know, is so different to when he was POTUS. They were just everywhere. but, you know, the basis of this plan, like we said, is to get Liv to stopping the head of B613 to shut it down. Mm-hmm. Which, at this point, it feels like between Jake and Fitz, she's at a crossroads of, like, what to do, whether or not she can actually handle this role.
Right. I just have a question, though, because Papa Pope was so into B613 when he was command, and it's saving the Republic. Why would he want to shut it down if he really feels like this unit protects the Republic? I get why he doesn't want Liv to be the head, but why wouldn't he want someone else to run it? Like, why does he want to shut it down?
Really? Papa Pope wants to run it himself again, which is why he secretly got the permission from Fitz. That was like his last order before leaving the White House, was to write in these funds. But then when Olivia caught it, she shut it down, and then she actually kept it for herself. So I think that Papa Pope is a little salty, and he feels that I don't want her to run it. I want myself. So if I can get her out the way, then I can take it back over eventually. I think that's the why.
Ask him. Yeah.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that. I mean, let's not forget, B613 is Rowan's life work.
Yes.
I mean, he's still old painting, you know, dinosaurs and tending to those things. But, like, we all know that's just busy work until he can get his hands dirty again in B613 some way, somehow.
Right.
They're two individuals who are controlled by power. You think he's really, like you said, he's not going to just let Liv have it and not try and take it back.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree.
Yeah, interesting. And one thing, just in that first scene, when you were talking about the parallel between Fitz and Jake, I found it very interesting, the dynamics, the trio dynamics between Fitz, Jake, and even the new guy, Curtis, because I think that Liv really likes strong men. She thrives because she's such a strong woman. So when she was surprised when Fitz showed up at her door, she was so like, I can understand the feeling, but I can't express it. The disgust almost, and Curtis turning around and kind of chickening out from being there, like, oh no, I'll talk to you later. I was actually going to leave. She was like, no, but that's why she was like, okay, if he calls again, I'm always busy. Because it's like, who wants that? But then right after that, who did she go to first to talk about the fact that Fitz was back? She went to Jake. And she's like, Fitz is back. What am I supposed to do? I was like, ooh, you going back to your strong man.
Oh, that's a good
point.
speaking of Curtis, so he leaves that first scene in the beginning with Liv because he can't handle the situation. I mean, who would want to stand between right. that? I don't know about you guys.
That's too much.
Anyone listening or watching us live or watching later, how thick of tension do you think was in the room between those three? But this episode, Curtis actually, I think he flexed his muscles in a different way on his show, The Price of Power, I believe, is his talk show. You know, as the story with the missing girl starts to gain traction, Fitz appears on the show with the mother of Zoe Adams. Her name is Noor Adams, Zoe's mom, to try and plead their case. And I feel like this is where we see, you know, more of Curtis's character and who he really is. Just on how quickly he claps back at Fitz and their dialogue surrounding a very sensitive topic and a serious issue, and something that I'm glad that Shonda Rhimes found a way to bring into the scandal world.
Yeah.
As a journalist, I thought that Curtis asked amazing questions. Even though he was clapping back, I thought that was an amazing way to handle that interview. Mm-hmm. But then Fitz handled it like a pro.
Yeah,
like I was like, where is he going? How is he going to defend himself? And he killed it. So both of them, I was just like, okay, she has two good men. Like, they're both brilliant. So.
It falls back to the confidence that you spoke on earlier that Fitz has in this episode, which he doesn't always have.
Did you see it different? Like,
I did, and I agree. I feel like Price should have held Fitz feet to the fire in that situation, but at the same time, I was like, oh, you have balls on your show on live television, but you didn't last night when you were crawling away.
Well, Fitz was in his court at that point. He was in the hot seat. He was the one able to ask those questions. And I agree with you guys. As a journalist, like, he held him. He asked the right questions, to be honest. Yeah. And I think the way Fitz carried himself was great.
Yeah.
And that's why Olivia had her wine looking like, what am I going to do with this man? And he announced on that show that he was going to stick around D.C. I'm sure you're excited, Christine.
I am.
You Elitzers over there.
I'm very excited. Although it could be for the wrong reasons, you know. But I am very excited by that. I think it's good to have Fitz back. This is post, you know, presidential Fitz. I feel like last week, seeing his dynamic with Marcus and kind of working through those sensitive topics around race, I think that's why, maybe not why, but part of Fitz's confidence in tethering himself to a cause like this and kind of not tiptoeing around it, really calling things out and standing in his truth. And I really, really love that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think part of it, too, is like he's not president anymore. So in a way, he doesn't have anything to lose.
Yeah.
Because he's not sitting in the White House every day.
True. Having someone like, you can't say this, you can't do that.
Yeah.
This
will be a distraction. He doesn't have a filter anymore in a way.
Mm-hmm. He's so relaxed. He's like, hey,
yeah,
you want to grab a drink? I mean, all casual. Yeah. I was like, this is casual Fits. That's kind of cute.
It's so weird. Like, total role reversal.
I know. Well, casual Fits still has that leather jacket and a full head of hair. So I think Liv is like,
full head of hair.
You know, I mean, he's an older white dude. Let's be real. Like, that's true, kind of a unicorn there.
Kind of his swag. So in the live chat, just to chime in, Sarah Brockle, she said that Curtis didn't put up a fight with Fitz on the show like he did with Olivia. You know, he shut down Olivia. He fought. He shut her down. And so...
Well, they were going down to the last minute. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't cut him off 30 seconds. I don't know, something's flying in the air. But yeah. Interesting point. Thanks for pointing that out. Live chat.
Thanks.
Yeah,
you guys are on it. But you know, unfortunately, all of that was overshadowed by a coup that was taking place in Bashran, which is framing this nuclear summit that was supposed to happen between President Meli, Prime Minister Nazari of Dakhal, and President Rashad of Bashran. And we know President Rashad pretty well at this point, a couple episodes in. How do you guys feel about the love between President Meli and President Rashad?
Yes. I mean, if it's genuine, then I'm kind of here for it. Meli needs a man. But I'm still kind of debating if it's genuine or if he has, like, a motive. If he wants to be close to this woman in power, like, running the free world.
That's interesting.
I took
him as very
genuine. She's going to war for him. She's going to war for him.
What about him makes you think it's genuine?
Yeah.
The fact that his country kind of turned on him when he left, you know, I mean, I just feel like if he wasn't as into her as it seems, he wouldn't have honestly drawn it out.
You see, but for that same reasons why I feel like it's not genuine, because his country did turn on him. So having this powerhouse, the president of the United States behind him, she's going to war for him. Oh, so it's like all saying. It works in his favor, but
I see it's a win-win almost for him.
Yeah.
In hindsight, though, like he didn't know at the time that he expressed feelings for Melly that his country was going to turn on him. And it was almost as if him teaming up with America is what made his country turn on him, because he said clearly at the summit, if I make a peace, you know, a treaty with you guys, a foreign treaty with you guys, or I were to release your spy, then either way, I will be exiled or killed. He said it at the beginning. Yeah. So I think kind of almost lose. I'm a go against what you said a second ago, but it's almost lose-lose, because it's like he's either going to die, get exiled. He might as well get a little love in between.
That is true.
It's interesting, you know?
It's a good way to look,
I mean, his back's against the wall at this point, and it seems like Melly is the only one who can help him at this point with where his country is at.
I have a question for you guys, though. What do you Just do? In reference to, okay, that whole scene, since we're talking about the war, and when Olivia had went and talked to Melly and was basically like, you know, you have feelings for this guy, like you have different, you don't have a clear mind as you're making these rational decisions. And she's like, you're trying to go to war for this guy. And I was like, ooh, but honey child, Grant, Fitzgerald Grant, went to war for you when you were captured. So what do you guys think of the parallel between the two?
I thought it was glaring me in the face. I'm so glad that you brought it up. Yeah. Honestly, because maybe it's because I've been rewatching the series. We spoke about this. I have no life, guys. We watched all Scandal. But when push came to shove, the situation that they were in at the time, Melly was like, if you need to go to war for her. I know you didn't go through all of this for a cheap lay. That's literally what she said to Fitz when he was, you know, debating. And meanwhile, Liv in this situation was like, pump the brakes. Don't go to war for no dude, just for no reason. You know, checking her along the way to make sure that this is the right move. And Melly kind of has the last word in this situation, because she's like, this is my decision.
Mm-hmm. What I found really interesting about the conversation they had is I feel like Melly was almost trying to like prove or like beg to Olivia like why this was her decision, and I just find it so interesting that that power dynamic still is so uneven in a way. Like I seriously felt like she was kind of like almost talking herself into it too, and I'm like, girl, you are in charge. Olivia is not, you know.
Felt the same way. Like, and then at the end, she pretty much gave her permission to be in charge.
Right, Olivia's exactly.
Like, yeah, you know what? That was a good one, so you can be in charge. That's how it felt, but we all know
it
that.
It did, especially because her decision about being in charge, Liv already had a brief prepared for that decision. So she's like, sure, take this one.
I already knew.
You can be in charge for that. But just thinking back to that same point about the war, Olivia was actually very pissed at Fitz for going to war for her. Mm-hmm. So it's like a consistency actually that she has because she's like, why would you go to war for your mistress, for someone that you love? Like, get over it. You're running a country. So it's nice to see some, you know, consistency, and that power didn't exactly change her perspective.
That's true. And that's a clear perspective to have, especially as chief of staff. She's trying to look at all angles of the situation. Hence why she probably had two briefs, just what could go wrong, what could go right, and contingency plans either way. But, you know, it brings up a good point that we're all discussing here about how long can this power dynamic between those two last? Mm-hmm. Because how many times did Fitz and Cyrus have their falling outs where he was, like, literally, like, you're fired. Like, I'm done with you. Yeah. Because, you know, one person is playing the bull and the other person is the face of whatever it is they're trying to do. And Liv is so, like, I think unsure right now of where she wants to go with being command or not. And then juggling that with being, you know, Melly's spine and backbone and brain and helping her through all this, and then the power dynamic that they have. I'm just curious how long these two women can continue to coexist in the Oval.
Right. If I was Melly, I would be over it. Like, I made a decision. Stop trying to tell me I'm wrong. I am the president. So I think I would already been like, all right, I'm done with you. I need a man. I need a man to help me out. Whoa. I just would be really over it.
A man to help me out.
Oh, well, not to help me out, because women, I just feel like women together sometimes, I mean, sorry, we are catty with each other and really competitive. Women are, it's hard to have this, like, support for women nowadays. Actually, always.
It's
unfortunate, but it's like that. And I personally would be like, you know what, this woman wants my job, and it's my job, so bye.
That's how I would feel.
I don't see them necessarily breaking up or them being over each other just yet for a while. Only because, different to what you just said, this woman wants my job, but really she doesn't. So I think that it's such a powerful duo when you have someone that is your backbone that actually does not want your job. If Olivia wanted to be president, Olivia would be president. But absolutely. She wants to be the one with the power, and she knows that the person that's in front doesn't have the power. It's the behind the scenes. And I don't think that Melly will ever get upset with Olivia to the point of leaving, because she is so weak. And as Tessa pointed out earlier, her groveling to make a decision for the first time since she's been president was pathetic. And she continues to display that. And Olivia continues to save her. Yeah, she gave that such an empowering speech. Got like, literally, I had goosebumps. I don't know if because I'm wearing sleeveless or it was really low. But goosebumps. She was like, I have your back. You are not at the top alone. At the end of the day, I will support you in whatever you decide. And that's what you need in your life. You need an Olivia. I've said this before. We all need Olivia in our lives.
Yes. Liv needs to be around to just handle everything for us. I mean, I agree. I'm excited to continue to see that duo kind of tackle things as season 7 goes on. We're only 4 episodes in, so... Are we still with Scandal?
We're still there.
Yeah. I know. I'm just like, okay, they're inching along. I'm like wondering, did you guys get that feeling? Am I alone in that? Maybe the live chat can sound off. Are we like inching towards something really big? Like, I feel like, you know, this is the first like marquee kind of moment in Melly's presidency, you know, having this nuclear summit, trying to sign this peace treaty. I'm wondering if, you know, with this coup, is it going to be a situation where she needs to go to war and everything changes? Like, that could change the whole dynamic of the show. I have to wonder why we're getting introduced to these storylines, why he's her love interest, why all this matters.
Well, the live chat has some interesting stuff going on. Kamara was speaking about smelling a rat with the coup and was saying basically that Melly needs to stop giving her hooch, because it's like there's a trust. She was like, do you really trust him to drink with him and to be comfortable? Kind of what you said about, is there something going on? Is there really a coup? Is it maybe a trap for American soldiers to go in and fight and then really capture them and get their power back? Dun, dun, dun.
Ooh. Wow. You know, that's possibility. What if Prime Minister Nazari had something to do with that? Because they burst in right when they were, you know, reaching the ground.
The timing was suspicious.
And this was after day one, where things already blew up in their face. What if, you know, Prime Minister Nazari had that kind of in his back pocket, just in case they hadn't come into an agreement to have that happen?
That wouldn't surprise me.
Interesting.
I like where your head's
at. He's a tricky man. I did think that he kind of gave in a little too quick on the treaty.
Mm. Yeah, I was kind of like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I kind of see this as a moment, too, where maybe B613 needs to be involved. I mean, Jake hinted at that at the very end, that, hey, we could have had a leg up on this if we had more agents. Yeah. You know, we need more people on the ground, which is like pulling her more into B613, where like the rest of her world's kind of like pulling her out. So it's an interesting dynamic.
Quick question: are Charlie and Quinn done with B613?
That's actually a really good question.
Because aren't they supposed to still be agents?
I think that when the shutdown happened, everyone was wiped clear. You know, when they handed the cards and they just, you know, they killed everyone or whatever. So I think that she perhaps recruited new people.
Interesting. And these faceless B613 agents that we've yet to see, guys.
What?
All right. It's time for our Shady Boots moment. Who do you guys have for Shady
Let's
Boots?
See who I wrote down music. Two moments.
Ooh. Let's sing it in first.
Okay.
You keep saying you've
got something for me. Okay.
We're going to waste our part. You call
but all right. We can skip. It's going to be so long. You've
been a mess. All right. Well, I'll just go ahead and lead in with my Shady Boots moment. I have two, but I think I'm really going to give it to Cyrus this episode. Even though his love story going on with Glackland is kind of a secondary storyline, doesn't stop him from throwing Shady Boots, with just the little things that he says, where he was, you know, having a little chichi with Melly and they were, you know, having girl talk, I guess. And
I love
he
that
said, did you see my ex-husband? How can I go from that to that? And I think we all collectively in the studio looked at each other like, sorry, Jeff Perry, I love you, but like, Cyrus, you're not exactly, like, you know, the greatest catch ever. You kind of have murdered people in the past for political gain. And yeah, so I don't know how you can rate yourself that much higher than someone who genuinely likes you, genuinely, right now, and wants to be with you. I thought that was shady.
Okay, to be honest, mine was kind of fits. Because I feel like throughout the episode, and it wasn't a specific moment, I just feel like something is so up with how he's getting at Olivia. And when they kissed, another moment, we all were like, that moved so fast, I felt like. And it just didn't settle right with me, and I didn't like it. It's not like I'm usually like, yeah. Like, I was like, wait, whoa.
Yeah,
that
was
my
shady moment.
That's a good one.
Mine is a slight shade, but it's when the mom of the missing girl, she meets Fitz, and he's all like, you know, I'm so sorry it took so long, and she's like, well, I'm so glad, like, oh crap, I didn't remember what she says now.
She said, no,
I wrote it down. Yeah. She said, about time you showed up.
Yeah, so I thought she was going to be like, I thought she was going to be like, well, I'm so glad you're finally here. And she's like, well, it's about time you showed up. I'm like, oh, okay. So that was a little bit of shade.
That was good. Well, can I just say, first off, the shadiest part of the episode was the fact that Huck wasn't in this episode.
Yes. Where is Huck?
Where not in the world is Huck?
Why didn't I think notice that?
Mm-hmm.
And I love Huck.
Oh, my God. Shame on us. I honestly didn't
notice. Shame on us. I didn't notice either.
For that. But my real...
God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's huge, right? I'm like, wait a second. But my shadiest
we're still like in our
feeling shock right now. My shadiest is when Fitz had arrived at Liv's door and what's his name?
Curtis
walked away and Fitz is like, this is exciting. He's like, that's exciting. Like your little date, your little kiss, and now your date's running away. He's like, that's exciting. I was like, oh,
that is true.
The shade in it all.
Tell me that in
that's a good one.
Ego,
yeah.
Right, right.
That was a shady moment.
I'm here.
And your little date ran off, so that's funny.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's good. My God. All right. So that pretty much wraps up the episode. I guess we can quickly go through our predictions. Oh, no.
But first, can I talk about the parallels? Each week I love talking about the parallels between real life and what's going on with this show.
Please do.
And I found a couple this episode. One in particular was the primary plot of the girls, you know, being missing. And that was a really huge story that actually happened with the girls from Nigeria being missing. Yes, this was years ago. You know, everybody, the White House, when Obama was there at the time, and... Mrs. Obama held up signs like bring back our girls. Yeah. And that was just like, there wasn't enough media coverage. That was the biggest thing, you know, when that happened. So I was like, oh, she really did bring light to that. I think that this is a slither, but when Olivia was really exuding her power, when Marcus came back and he's like, oh, I have to come by and see you for a hall pass before I can see Melly. Well, actually right now, President Trump's chief of staff, John Kelly, when he came in recently within the past couple of months being his chief of staff, that's literally what he did. He literally was like, nobody sees the president, even his own kids.
Oh, wow.
Ivana, the Donald Jr. Yeah. He was like, no, you don't get the president's time unless we approve it and you're on the schedule. So I was like, ooh, I see that little parallel. And then Laz, which was my favorite, when Melly and Cyrus was doing their little chit-chat, little girl chat moment, Melly kicked off her shoes and jumped on the couch with her knees plunged into the seat. And that was a huge scandal from Kellyanne Conway, one of President Trump's largest advisors, and how she was all comfortable in the Oval Office, except Melly is the actual president and she can do that, unlike Kellyanne Conway. But anyway, but then I was like, ah!
Yes, that's so true.
Great. See what you're doing, Shonda. See what you're doing.
Wow. Yeah, those parallels are spot on. This is why we love you, Shonda. Mm-hmm. Killing it with the real life references. So let's start talking about what's going to happen next. I'm sticking by my prediction earlier that I think... Ooh, yeah, I'm sorry. How could I forget the music? I I think this coup is gonna pull Liv even deeper into B613. I think it's gonna mess with her responsibilities as chief of staff and create a lot of tension between her and Melly.
I agree with you, and I find it interesting that she kind of asked multiple people if she can have it all, and everyone's telling her she can't, which is making me really question. And going back to my very first prediction, that Melly and Fitz are going to end up together. Liv and Fitz are going to end up together. I don't know where Melly just came from.
Like, you almost gave Christine a heart attack. Come on.
Because maybe she's thinking she is in over her head and just wants to be done. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know what my prediction is besides my finale prediction. But I think Olivia is going to be very distraught in the next.
Mine is, well, now we know Olivia.
You know her?
Olivia, yeah, I know. We're best friends. Olivia knows why Fitz is here now. Mm-hmm. So I feel like Fitz's role in this whole season is going to be like trying to get Liv out of B613. And he's probably going to fail every time until the end. We'll see. That's what I'm thinking. Because we're not going to forget about Fitz. You know, we can't, like, bring him back to Vermont. So he has to be here for a reason.
That's I'm curious at the same thing, because then what if that fails? What if she's just like, no, I don't want to be with you. It's not going to work. I'm sticking to B613. Then what? What's his purpose?
What is he doing? I know, how many episodes are in the season? Like, 20?
18.
18?
We're on
4. Yeah, 14.
12 more?
My prediction... Well, they teased us for next week saying that, you know, everyone's against Olivia. Whose side are you on? Well, I'm always on Olivia's side, so I'm just going to make that clear. But something that I found really interesting in this episode that I feel will cross over is where we left off with Olivia and Papa Pope. And I feel like with her discovering that Papa Pope went to go see Fitz, she's going to have a different perspective now, and Fitz is not going to be able to scheme her in a way that, like, he intentionally planned. I think that was that power move at the end. We kind of didn't talk about it, but when she cleared out Papa Pope's studio and took all the bones away and is like, you're going to listen to me. Now, I feel that Papa Pope is going to try to find a way to get into Olivia's head, because I feel like he can do it so well. Even the reverse psychology he tried to play this episode, saying like, you're coming to see me because Fitz was on TV and you like him. You know that you can't be with him, but yet he's telling Fitz, go be with her. So he knows that she's going to defy him. If he was to say, yes, go run and be with Fitz and listen to everything that Fitz has to say, she's not going to do it. So he's playing this deep reverse psychology. Yeah. And I think that we're going to see that expand. And I'm so excited to see the end of next season. The end of next episode, because who's going to be on top over Olivia?
Also, I wrote this down. We didn't touch on this either. But why is he always yelling?
Yes. He is always yelling.
Papa Pope is always yelling. I don't know what just got to me this episode.
It really cracked me up.
I'm like...
He was yelling. Tessa, she literally jumped while we were watching it. She was like, why? Oh, Papa Pope.
Joe Morton. He has no chill.
It was not even necessary this time, though. Like, you can say the same thing in a comedy.
What it was. It just felt really unnecessary.
Super, like,
it's
dad
like his
mode.
Routine. Yeah. It's like he always just goes.
And 0 to 100. Always just very calm. Like, I'm waiting till this dude is done yelling because I can't get a word.
We're in the routine.
She always looks like she can bust out in tears every time, but she holds it together. But she's like, just gonna walk away now.
Oh, you did it so good, too.
Oh, really? Oh, yes. Close up.
I would, too. He's intense. Jesus. Getting flashbacks to my dad. I don't care why the clothes aren't picked up. You pick it up, Olivia.
Like, that's literally right. And I love the octaves. The sing-songy way that he yells. It's fantastic.
It is.
All right, guys. I think that wraps up episode 4 of Lost Girls on season 7. Yes. Thanks for kicking it with us. If you guys were here in the live chat, or if you're listening tomorrow on iTunes or on YouTube, thank you so much for kicking it with us. I'm your host, Christine Alexis. You can find me all over social media at Christine Bean.
My name is Tessa Saval. You guys can find me all over social media at Tessa_Saval.
And I am Paris Rose. You can find me on Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook at Paris Rose with 2 R's, and Twitter with Paris Rose TV with 2 R's.
On Twitter!
And I'm Jessica Williams. You can find me on Instagram at Miss Jessica Williams and on Twitter at Miss Jessica WW. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
See you next week. Like our video. Subscribe to AfterBuzz Dramas.
Yes.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.